Good morning. Thanks for coming to my presentation. My title is a little bit different than that is in an abstract because we have a little bit more update than we saw in an abstract. So I changed it to machine learning based cotton yield estimation using UAV data. So I would like to call in acknowledge my collaborators. We are the team with four different institutes, Texas A&M University at Corpus Christi, Ag Lab Research at Corpus Christi, and also Lubbock Extension Center and College Station main campus as well. As you know, Texas produces about 25% of, whole U.S. cotton production, and cotton is a very important, industry in Texas. And one of the, big objectives in cotton breeding program is in how we can develop, the variety or material that is, optimized for, that specific environment. So usually how they do it is that they're going to plant the, cotton and grow it in the field and harvest it and do the yield measurement and do the genotyping ranking and do the selection based on that information. But as you know, this kind of process, is time consuming. It requires a lot of money, and sometimes, this kind of measurement can be biased, if you're, based on some of the visual observation as well. And Dr. Zhang mentioned in previous presentation, there might be some cases where you can even not harvest because of excessive rainfall. And in that case, we're going to lose in a whole year. So how we can use this, UA-based, machine learning technique to help breeders so that they can be more effective, and also they can even keep the data even in a year where they cannot even harvest. So, main objective in this study is in how we can develop a machine learning framework for automated cotton selection using multi-temporal UAV data. So we have, UAV data coming in. We have a machine learning model. This one is going to spit out what is going to be predicted yield at the end of the season. And the breeders may be able to use this information to do the selection based on that information. So this is an experimental setup. This is the data collected in 2016 at Corpus Christi location. And we have two different treatment over here. This is dry land and this is irrigated environment. We have a total of 30 different variety planted in the field. And if you zoom into a little bit more detail over here, this is two row plot, the line over there is one variety. And we divide into grids, so we get the measurement per grid. And the platform that we use for this data collection is, of course, this is 2016. We use the Phantom 4, RGB sensor, which has 12 megapixel. And we also use the 3D iris platform in those days. And this one has 1.2 megapixel with a global shutter. So we collected data throughout the season. This was planted on April 1st of 2016. Essentially, we are doing the weekly data collection. Sometimes we are doing the twice a week. And this was harvested sometime in late August at the end of the season. So we have, this multi-temporal data. And what we do is every time we do the flight, we have raw images and the process using structure from motion so that we can generate 3D point cloud and also generate the digital surface model. Then we are going to generate the orthomosaic images as well. And from this, the process data set, what we do is we extract the phenotypic information out of those. And this one here is in a multi-temporal phenotypic features. And I'm not going to go into detail how we extract it because I think we explained it so many times, before. Canopy height, canopy cover volume, and different vegetation indices, these are extracted every time we do the flight. So we have a multi-temporal measurement. And these are the, one-time measurement, for example, cotton ball count, ball size, and volume. This is, the extracted from the last flight that we did. And we also have, treatment information as well. And one of the first steps once we extract this information is, like explained before, we have, this grid design over here. And all this, the blue dot, you may not be able to see, all those details is, information extracted whenever we do the flight. But the problem is that, we cannot use those in a point directly because, we can maybe able to develop, a model for this year, but if you want to apply this model to next year, there's no guarantee that we're going to collect the data at the same date next year. So what we do is, we do the, daily measurement interpolation based on the UAV measurement that we got. For example, this is canopy cover, for example, height and volume, NDVI, and excessive greenness index. Based on the measurement with the, spacing in time, we just do the daily interpolation so that we can have almost continuous measurement throughout the season. So for example, we have, let's say, 30 flight, but we do the daily measurement. That 30 number is going to turn into 100 numbers so that we can have continuous measurement. Once you have that, what we do is, for example, this is canopy cover height, volume, greenness index, and DBI, and these are the norm time propitious that I mentioned before. It's going to be canopy, the ball count, whether this field is irrigated or not. We concatenated those factors so that we can make in one long vectors for one, specific, the variety. Once we have that, vectors, ready, we feed that into our, artificial neural network. We call the, shallow network, because we only have a few number of layer. And this one is going to spit out number at the end, which is going to be, yield of those, specific variety. So what we did is, we have, I don't remember exactly how many lines we have, because we have 30 variety, 4 reps. So if you do that, 30 times 4 is 120. So 480, we have a dry land that irrigated, so you have about close to 1,000 samples over there. So we divide that into the 70% training, 30% in the testing. So this is when feed that training data into the model, as expected, it's going to close to 1-to-1 line because those are data set that is used to train the model. But this more interesting part is going to be something over here. These are the the lines that was not used to train the model. And you see that in a very, very, strong performance over here. X-axis here is an actual yield harvest in the field. Y-axis over here is in a predicted yield. And we see that, I-square value is, getting close to 0.89, which is, pretty impressive. But these days, I'm not sure where you're following these machine learning, techniques, but one of the hot keywords is something called the deep learning. So what is the difference between the deep learning and the artificial neural network? And the only difference is, they're using, same, neural network techniques, but their layer is, network is much deep. So that's the reason why you call that, that deep learning. And we thought that because we have so much, information collected from UAV data, why don't we just, take advantage of this, deep learning, architecture for this, cotton, phenotyping, cotton yield estimation. So we decided to, try this, something called the convolutional neural network. So we have, temporal features that I showed earlier that goes into this, convolutional neural network process. We have, these non-temporal features, after this CNN process with some information combined with the non-temporal features, again, connect that with a fully connected layer so that we can get that, final yield output over there. So to give you I don't want to go into all the detail how this in the CNN works because I only have 15 minutes, but this is in a layer that you remember in explained earlier. We have, very long concatenated vector layer. How this, convolutional, neural network, works is instead of you concatenating each vectors, we have, 8 different, information layers, and they each of them has, 100 dimensions in it. And we just do the convolution. Convolution is, we have, the 5x1 windows. We just, slide through it. So we have, 1x100, vectors, and it's going to output another 1x100. It can be smoothing. It can be in some, the line detection, depending on what kind of filter you use. And we just, do something called the pooling. Basically, we just look at those two numbers. We just pick whatever that is, bigger. So we just repeat that. So we have, 1x100. After the pooling, we're going to have 1x50. We just repeat another convolution, and we just another pooling that will, boil down to 1x25. So we just repeat this one to, all these in 8 different layers. So these are the phenotypic information, including also weather information as well. This one has in 100 dimension all the way down here, and this is non-temporal features. This multi-temporal information is going through this CNN process. We have a input layer, convolution, pooling, and we also drop out some connection to give some random. Then after that, we combine that 1,000x1 layer with 4 different non-temporal features that we just go through another fully connected neural network process. So if you remember this artificial neural network, which is in a much shallow network, these are the results. You remember R-square value was 0.98. And this is training 0.93. if you do the convolutional neural network, you're going to see that this training is pretty much remain the same, but you see this testing R square value is increasing, which is promising. And I want to just point it out that we only test this only with a 2016 data set, but we're going to expecting that artificial neural network is going to be performing worse for the different year data set, because we are not taking into account any the environment, for example weather information, versus this convolutional neural network is also taking into account all those information as well. So in conclusion, we proposed a shallow network model, and it worked. It's for 1 year data set. The R square value was getting close to 0.89, and the deep network model was even working better. So we're hoping that now, unfortunately, 2017 we have some problem with yield data collection, so we are not able to test it. But now 2018 we believe we have good yield data collected in the field, so that by hopefully next year we can actually use the model trained using 2016 model to predict what's going to be yield in 2018 and compare that with the actual harvest yield, so that we can report update result next year. And the breeders, the reason why we are developing these technologies, we want to help breeders so that they can develop material much quicker. So with this technology, they can have much bigger experiment size. Then they have more the plant planted in the field, chances are higher that they can make a progress faster. So future work, like I explained earlier, we want to incorporate the multi-year data so that we can test out this in a machine learning framework, and incorporate also weather data more aggressively as well, and the yield production in the middle of the season. Because I'm not sure how many of you are in the presentation that is given by Dr. Landivar yesterday. But eventually what we want to do is, this, the result that I'm showing right now is, it's going to give you the yield at the end of the season. But most of the growers, that's not what they want. They want to be able to predict what's going to be yield in the middle of the season so that they can use that information to take action so that they can improve yield, better. So we want, these are going to be the items that we're going to be working, for the next year. Hopefully we can have more of that next year. That's all I have, and I would entertain any question you might have.
We have several minutes for questions.
Gina, how will you adapt this model for yield conditions? We included by blood. How will you do your potential applications?
So, Phil, so one of the big difference, by the way, I'm a civil engineer, so I may kind of undermine the difficulties of agriculture. But, to me, this is kind of one of the most extreme case where you want to, predict yield, because we have different varieties, different treatment. But in the growers field, we have one variety most of the time. Of course, there's soil condition is going to be different. But, the way they how envision it is going to be, we are doing by meter by meter, because we have such a small micro plot. But in growers field, their condition is going to be more homogeneous. So basically, how I envisioning this technology can be applied to growers field is going to, you're going to make that grid bigger. So it can be, for example, 10 by 10, or 100 by 100, by hectare, something like that. We can give, yield monitors, giving, we're going to have, overall trend, how much yield we're going to have by, zones, and use that information to help, growers to take action in the middle of the season. Yep. We the question was, we are putting all those genotype into one pool and build a model, but what if we just do it by by genotype? I think we never thought about that, but there's going to be more growers situation where they have one the limited number of genotype.
Thank you.
I mean, this, cause I mean, the two, you know, quick answer to you is, you know, we haven't tried, but one of the reasons we were not able to do it is because we have a, because, you know, this machine learning is, you know, all, you know, data-driven. So we need to have certain amount of information to train the model, also, you know, validate it. But the only data set that we can use so far is, you know, 2016. And if you just, you know, narrow down into one specific variety, number of, you know, training data we can use is going to be even more limited. So, but once we have, you know, more data collected, you know, hopefully that might be the way to go. We're going to have a model for, you know, one variety, another model for, you know, another variety, so that, you know, they can use, you know, each, you know, growers maybe use, you know, this model for, you know, this, you know, your location, and another, you know, the grower might use another one.
All right. Let's thank our
speaker. Okay. Thank you.